May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you very much for your invitation this morning. It's a great pleasure to be back here among you again after my visits in the late summer. It was like a very long time ago, but it's a comparable joy to be back, so thank you very much. Some years ago, I attended a conference which gathered aspiring ordinands from across the country. The meeting was held in Ely, so my journey there from Cambridge was just a hop, skip, and a jump. But other people had come much further, indeed from all corners of England. One young woman had come right from the north, and when another delegate expressed regret that she'd been forced to come so far, she brushed it aside and said, "I don't mind long train journeys, because they give me a chance to talk to someone about Jesus." "Oh," I replied, "I guess you never have any trouble finding a seat." No one laughed then either. I expect that John the Baptist was the sort of person who would not have had any trouble finding a seat on a train. It sounds like the sort of person you cross the road to avoid. No doubt very smelly, living on the margins of acceptable society, dressed very oddly, given to a peculiar diet, and prophesying the end of the world as we know it. Be honest, like me, you'll have swerved a few characters like him on the street corners in your time. Yet here we are on the fourth Sunday of Advent, the last Sunday before Christmas, and we're reminded again how each year the lectionary, just before the coming into the world of the true light, focuses in on this deeply weird character. Why? St. John is the great gospel of identity. And we know that because it's famous for its seven I am sayings, those emphatic statements of Jesus about himself. I won't embarrass anybody by seeing if you can remember all seven, but I will remind you that he says, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection of the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and finally, I am the true vine." But what we often overlook in John's Gospel is that it just as much raises the issue of who we are. In chapter 15, for example, Jesus unfurls that wonderful image of himself as the true vine. But he also tells us two things about ourselves. First of all, he says that we are his friends. If we do what he commands. And secondly, he says that we are the branches to his vine. But those statements telling us something about who we are really just an emphatic expression of a theme which is first broached in today's gospel reading. The interrogation of John the Baptist by the curious crowds is not just an interrogation of who John is, but an interrogation of who we are. Think about the context of today's gospel. I know it very well. I know it very well because it's a set text when I was studying Greek with my theology degree, so it's one of the small bits of the Bible I've actually read. John the Evangelist has unfurled the mystery of the Incarnation in that peerless introduction to his gospel. The Logos, the Word, the true light who made the world and everything, and everyone who comes into it is taken on flesh and is dwelling among us. The light is now in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Now, in the course of that prologue, John the Evangelist says that John the Baptist was sent from God, not as the light, but as a witness of the light. John the Baptist, then, is set up as the paradigm example of a faithful witness to God against the darkness and uncertainty into which the Word has come incarnate. So the questions which follow immediately afterwards are posed not just of that paradigm witness, John the Baptist, but are pointedly posed of us. And the question is whether we answer those questions in such a way that we set ourselves up as being independently significant, or do we, like John the Baptist, turn away from this artificial light of self-glorification to the true light of a life rooted in the incarnate Word? Do we accept this implicit praise and affirmation of the crowds which exist in our lives, asking questions about us? Do we encourage their misconceptions? Do we bask in the corners that they've cut? Or do we empty ourselves out and root our significance in being disciples of Christ, this incarnate Son of God? We tend to forget these days that Advent is a penitential season. Christmas starts in about mid-October. But penitential season it is, a time for self-examination and introspection. And just as we're called in this time to set our eyes on the coming of the light into the world through Christ, so we're called to question ourselves, to ask who we are, to ask what we hold dear, to ask how we live by those creeds which we profess. And we might find some inspiration in that exercise of self-examination from the fading of the light at this time of year. For it's as the darkness grows, indeed it's at the year's darkest moment, tomorrow as it happens, that we find the true light breaking into the world. Not triumphantly, not in some glitterball explosion or announced with a great fanfare, but beyond the values that we hold dear, beyond the places that we think important, without any noise, without any ceremony, in the stinking mud of the stable, in the silence and the vulnerability of the dark and lonely night, in the pain and the fear of that scandalous birth. That's where the light comes in, and it's all the more brilliant for the darkness which surrounds it. So this call to introspection and self-examination at this time of year is a call to do something which is potentially very painful. It wasn't an easy vacation for John the Baptist. Led him to the wilderness, led him to the scorn of laid out many people in the crowds, and it would eventually lead to his imprisonment and to his execution. And it's not an easy vacation for us. But nevertheless, I invite you earnestly to embark upon it in the days ahead as we wait for Christ's nativity. Ask yourself, in the time in Advent which remains, daily, maybe even hourly, this jagged question in the Gospel: what sayest thou of thyself? Because it's in really opening ourselves up to the confusion and the pain and the fear of what lies deep within us, opening up to all those things which we've buried and we'd really rather not think about. It's in doing that that we open up a dark space for the light to break in. And if we don't do this, if we flick on the electric lights of denial and self-satisfaction, we simply can't be open to that true light, the light coming into the world. In fact, with those artificial lights on, we simply won't notice the true light when it comes. So, what sayest thou of thyself?